you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your Holy Spirit in this place. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, the anointing that breaks the yoke. And we come to you, Lord, to receive, to hear from you, to be touched by your Holy Spirit, that we may be able, Lord, to go out of this place having something from you new, Lord, to enable us to walk in victory and to overcome. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, I thought I had finished with the helper, but I was wrong. The Lord has been on my case for all the week that I had to discuss something else or present something else that is the same, is connected to the principle of the helper being with us. But it's different angles to look at it. And it's the angle of walking by faith. Because, you see, it's when we walk by faith, then the Holy Spirit does the work in us. He cannot do the work in us if we are not in faith. You see, it's when he tries, he's there, he's the helper. But if we are not walking in faith, we are not going to be able to hear it. We are going to shut him out. We are going to block him instead of actually allowing him to make the changes in us. So we need to learn and understand some of the things that maybe you haven't talked about yet, about the helper, the way it works. And, you know, this is so important because often what we do is we do only one part. And there are actually two components of walking by faith. One is faith, the other one is walking. I mean, seems simplistic, but actually is something that most of the people don't do. And we're going to see why I'm saying that. See, that's probably the most difficult part, to walk. Meaning what that means, you know, seeing what that means. So, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, you know, but we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, walking by faith means that we walk by what we believe. You know, we repeat the sentence that the weakest word started, you know. The word says, I believe it, and thus settled it. And we all knew that, but is that really so with us? Does it really settle? To what degree it settles? Because there's some implication. So you see, what we generally do in the first part is that we need to go to the Word. We need to go to the Word to know the things that we can believe for. The things that can we apply faith, our faith to. See, there is no faith without knowing what we can believe. So our faith comes by hearing the word, and by hearing the word means that we simply hear the message of what is possible and what is God's plan and what is God's thoughts and what is God what are God's promises for us. So we had to start there. And some people stop right there. And this is not even the first step. You see, just hearing the word The potential for faith is there, but doesn't mean it's going to work. Because you have also other so many different things, experiences that are contrary to the word of God and ideas and thoughts that are really opposite of what God says. Because generally God says things that are different from what you can experience in the world. So, when you hear the word, you're going to receive a contradiction within yourself between the things that you can see, that maybe you experience, and the things that God is offering you. That's how you get saved. He said it, believe what he said and accept what he said, and he changes you. But you had to accept what he said. And then you had to allow that to become a reality to you. I mean, to become a physical reality, not just mental reality. And the way you start going and meditate on the word, and you start confessing the word. And those are all important things. Without that, even our salvation experience becomes very limited. This is why lots of believers, they've been believers for 50 years, and there is no any progress in their life. There is no any manifestation of the supernatural power of God, because Christianity is supernatural. And unless there is a supernatural manifestation in your life, you have not come into the place in which you are actually experiencing Christianity the way it should be. So this is the thing that has to happen. And so those things need to be put in place in your mind, in your thinking, by meditation, by thinking, by being in the Word night and day. And as you do that, that becomes, takes root inside yourself and start creating a network of thoughts and ideas that breaks all the other networks that come from the world and your experiences. So this has to happen, but that doesn't bring the solution, doesn't bring the victory. There is a second step that we had to take. This is only the first part. You know, but it's an important part. Because without keeping that active, you're not going to be able to make it. You see, what you look at, what you focus on, determines what you're going to be able to do, what is affecting you. Unfortunately, we are exposed to the world with our circumstances that often are not good. You know, there are problems around all over the place. We are affected by the problems, and we see the problems we experience, the problems we have, whatever the attacks we have, whatever it is. See, all these things in the world are negative. And they affect us, so they try to rob us the joy and the victory that the Lord wants to give us. This is the enemy that comes but to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus comes to give us life abundantly. So we had to stop looking at what's going on. Stop being influenced by the world around us, by even by experiences, by our circumstances. The word circumstances during the worship time and so on happened 3 or 4 times this morning. I felt the Lord wanted to really start helping us to move in that direction. Because this is what affects most of the believers. Their circumstances. Because the enemy create the circumstances in which they find themselves, and they have a difficult time to deal with those things. And we have to realize that we are not, shouldn't be under our circumstances. We should be on top of them. Hallelujah. So, that's step one. The step two is the walking. And what means walking is means, you know, what do you do with what you got? What step do you take in your life? And those steps should be guided by the Lord, should be directed by Him, so that you are going to walk in the path that is a path of life instead of being a path of death. He said, that's why he said, you know, today I put before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life. You see, there is a choice we make before, but then it's not just a question of a choice we make and it stops there. There is an implementation component that we have to learn to do. There is doing, not just listening. See what James chapter 1 verse 22 says, you know, that we should be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving ourselves. You see, when we do, we finally ratify, complete, finish the work that needs to be done. And sometimes the doing takes time, takes effort, takes a continuous decision that we make to do things in a certain way rather than another way, which is the world way. You know, we're going to take these two parts and take them apart in the detail to see the component of it so that we understand how to deal with it. See, the Holy Spirit is there. And He wants to do things for us. He's the helper. So that means, you know, a helper is somebody that wants to help you. But the ability to help you is dependent on you. And you say, well, I want them to help me. We say that, but in reality, you know, there is a demonstration sometimes that is not the case. Because we do not understand, or because we are distracted or whatever. So we have to see some of the things that are involved. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, he's talking about all in the Old Testament, all the things that they did. And I heard people preaching about that. I'm saying, you know, we are walking there, and there, you know, it's like we are in a stadium, and there's all these witnesses around looking at us and cheering us up. This is not what the word is saying. They are not witnessing us. They are the witness of Jesus. You see, they are the one pointing us to the solution, not to us. We have nothing to look at. Are you following me? I mean, we are nothing special. They don't need to cheer us up either. We need to shake ourselves up to respond and to see, because it's by us looking at what they look at. You see, being a witness means, you know, Jesus said, be my witness. They are his witness because they did what the things that they did because they believed in him. Are you following me? So this is what happens. There is so much evidence, translated in modern terms. There is so much evidence from the past, Old Testament and New Testament, of God's power and anointing and ability to operate in the life of a believer, that we should have nothing of a doubt. No, a piece of a doubt, nothing that has to do with doubt, because there is so much evidence, contrary to all the things that the evidence of the world around us should be nothing compared to that. Are you following me? So this is, you see, their witness should give us confidence in God's ability and willingness to work for us, to minister to us, to set us free, to remove the bondages that we have, to give us victory. So let's continue here. So such a great cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight. So everything that holds you down, push it away. It doesn't mean necessarily that, you see, every weight means not just something that is bad, but something that hinders you, could be just fine, but hinders you to be able to follow him, to take his steps. All the things that are distracting, there's nothing wrong with themselves, but they're distracting and taking you away from being focused on the right thing. And the sin which so easily ensnare us. So, you know, it's not a sin. This is actually in Greek, there's the sin. And the sin means, you know, that we, each one of us, has one area in which we are weak, that we are more vulnerable. And this is, so he's telling to us, first of all, take away all the junk that is distracting you, but also focus on the things which you are weak in, so that you are not going to be ensnared by it. Because that is the, you see, that's where the area of temptation that you can easily give in. And we are all have to recognize that even the circumstances, we are vulnerable. Okay. And let us run with endurance the race set before us. She doesn't say that this is not a sprint race. This is a marathon. This is a long run. And we had to endure the length of the marathon. We had to keep going and not just give up because, oh, it didn't work. We pray and there is no manifestation. There is time sometimes it required to manifest the results. All right? So, run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, we had to look at the way he did things. We had to focus ourselves on Jesus, not focus ourselves on our circumstances, not focus ourselves on what people says, not focus ourselves what everybody believes. We had to look at Jesus because he is the one that is going to enable us to find the strength, the faith that we need to overcome. I mean, the belief that we have. If we believe in our circumstance and we stay there, there is no way. But if we believe in Jesus, we believe in victory. We believe in resurrection. We believe in freedom. We believe in the ability to overcome whatever comes our way because he overcame. You see, that's what gives us the strength, because he overcame, then we can overcome because we are partaker of his victory. Said before, for the joy, finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't particularly enjoy to be crucified and what he went through, but he saw beyond that. He saw what was going to happen as a result of that, and for that reason said it was worth to go through what he went through. Despising the shame, and he's now so sad, down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the fact that he sat down means, you know, when you sat down, you don't walk anymore. That means he has nothing to do to overcome. Everything that he needed to do for overcoming, he has done it. So he can sit and watch and command. You see, what the king does, he sit on the throne, and his servant and his soldiers and his people do the work that he tells them to do. This is the way Jesus is today. You see, he has set us up and has ordained us to do the things that he was doing before, so that he can do his work, because he has finished his side of the story. But the moment, you see, the problem is, what's, this is, you got that mess, that, you got that thought, that idea, that logos. Now, the problem is that the moment in which you stop looking unto Jesus, you end up looking somewhere else. And what you look at is what is in front of your nose. Your circumstances. And the more you look at them, and the less faith you're going to have to overcome them. If you had ever to overcome some circumstances that were big, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the enemy wraps them in your face, and you can't see anything else but them. And the only way for you to change and to have any faith is to keep looking at Jesus, going to the Word, going to the Word night and day, so that your mind is focused and busy, active in the things that build up your faith instead of robbing you from it. You see, that's a part that we had to do to start with. This is the beginning. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. That's the part in which we are exposed and our faith is built up. We had to go to the Word. We had to spend time praying in tongues. We had to spend time with the Lord. We had to spend time away from the things that keep our attention from Him. If you have a big problem to overcome, and in front of your face, you are going to have a fight. There is no victory without a fight. And the more you look at the problem, the more you try to find the solution, the more stuck you're going to be, because you're going to try to do it in your flesh. You see, you're going to try to find the solution in yourself and say, oh, I had to do something. And you end up having an Ishmael. And you had to fight for the rest of your life to overcome that Ishmael, because it's going to persecute you and attack you and do war with you. So you had to get away from there, so that you are not finding solution in the flesh, but you find solution in the Lord. Because He's the one that brings you the solution that works. The other one don't work. It may appear that that's the solution, but they are not solution. They are deception. You remember Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Starting from verse 24, you know, they were going on a boat and they had finished preaching in one place, and the storm was going on. But the boat, verse 24, was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the wave, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. I mean, He was not under the circumstances. He didn't care if it was storm, wind, waves, anything else. He was simply walking. You see, when you walk with Him, that's what you do. It doesn't matter how everything is shaking around you. You just walk on the water. Doesn't fizz you. It doesn't do anything to you emotionally. See, when your emotions are affected, you're looking at something else. So you have to learn to look at yourself and say, wait a minute. What's going on here? Is faith operating in me? I mean, the implication of what I'm saying to you is so big, because no, we talk about being in Christ here. And we think that being in Christ is like having accepted Jesus 20 years ago. Being in Christ means that right now, our faith is operating. Because we look at Him and only at Him. So, and when the disciples saw him, verse 26, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. See what kind of faith these people had? They were afraid because it was a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Can you see these big guys, big fishermen, crying and screaming, afraid because they saw a ghost? I mean, it's funny. It's funny. But is it? I mean, you know, sometime we can be walking and the storm is raging around us and we see ghosts and we scream for fear. When instead, we should be screaming for joy because we know he's with us. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. Cheer up. It is I. Do not be afraid. That's always what God is going to tell us. Doesn't matter what. You see, when fear comes, he's always, you see, the helper is there to comfort us. That's what the comforter does. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter how much we are beaten up. Doesn't matter how many things went wrong. Stop looking at those things because those things are from the enemy and the enemy is defeated. And if you give the chance to Jesus, he's going to pull you out of there. But you have to cooperate with him. Praise the Lord. Now, and Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it is you, he's still asking if, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down, and when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. So you see, he was looking at Jesus. Because he was looking at Jesus, he could walk on the water. See, isn't that, thank you. I like light. Okay, that's you see, this is what he did. He looked at Jesus. There was no problem. He forgot. You see, at that moment, one second before, he was screaming for fear. The next moment, he was looking at Jesus. He said, come. He responded. He was walking on water. You see, that's God's power. He's able in one second to turn the situation around and start to get you to walk on water. I remember once I was preaching at one of the conventions for the ministers, and they said, you know, God wants us to walk on water. You know, and somebody make a joke. I said, well, it must be ice. And I said, well, it depends on your faith. Are you following me? You see, it's not by being wise, it's by looking at the right thing that you walk on water. It's by not allowing yourself to be distracted by that look. Okay? Okay, so, but when he saw the wind that was boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sing, he cried out, sink right out, Lord, save me. You see, I mean, he was walking in water and he was concerned about the wind. Does it make any sense? You see, that's a lack of perspective that we get when we look at the wrong thing. See, we need some time to see, I don't know, what more can you see than walking on water? Okay, evidently, sometimes there is a big thing happening. What is telling us this is that there can be a big thing happening and we don't make a match of it. so that when so small things like the wind comes, we get afraid. When we were walking in victory before and had, we are floating on something much bigger. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did he doubt? Because he looked at the wrong thing. You see, this is that's telling us, that's giving us a good lesson. I mean, I could show you many, many examples in the Bible, but what we look at is so important from one moment to another. Somebody says a word, you hear it, and works like the wind. You lose all your faith in 1 second. Because they said it. Because you listened to them. Because you were paying attention to them instead of paying attention to the word, to Jesus, to looking at him. This is only, we are just dealing only, not even half of the story. I mean, not even half of the process that we are talking about. We are just talking about, you know, where you keep your attention, what you focus on, what what you look at, what you give importance to makes all the difference in your ability to cope with your circumstances and to overcome them. Because if you look at the wrong thing, you cannot overcome. You are going to sink. And then you say, why God let this happen to me? Why do you look at the wrong thing? You may have to make a choice. Today, you choose life, not death. You look at Jesus, the author of your faith, not your circumstances, at the work of the devil. Praise the Lord. See, oh, you have little faith. I mean, can you see yourself in a situation in which you are sinking? And you feel all the right to feel that way because I'm sinking, Lord, help me. And Jesus stretches your hand and pulls you up and says, oh, you have little faith. Ouch. After we have such a great cloud of witnesses, showing that God is always there to bless us and to pull out us out of the fire. See, we need some flushing out of all the junk idea and thoughts of the world to be able to receive the truth that is there, that is Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, you really are the Son of God. I mean, they needed another proof. you see how we are not any better, are we? We had to really watch ourselves and see how much we limit the Holy One of Israel because we put all these other things, give power to all these other things, look at these other things instead of wasting our time looking at the wrong thing that brings us down instead of being bringing at us. You know, that's, you know, Proverbs 4:20-24 there, 27 and so on. You know, we're going to read that because I think that's, is where God talked to us about exactly this. It says, my son, Proverbs 4:20, give attention to my words. It doesn't say, give attention to your circumstances so that you know what to do. Does it say that? So give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That means night and day. Keep them in the midst of your heart. All these things. See, he's not talking about just one thing. He's talking about all different modality in which your perception works. You know, you hear, you're reading, you're saying, you're thinking, your thoughts, the way that your attitude, everything is all involved there. And says, you know, watch these things and keep my word right there. Why you had to do that? For they are life to those who find them, the word that you do, and health to all their flesh. I mean, by itself, if you do that, you should never get sick. I mean, God's God will, I believe that. There are many scriptures to prove that point. But the point is, even without meaning all the other scriptures, this by itself, if there helps to all their flesh, that means if you do those things, that's the result you're going to get. If you believe it, and if you do it. You know, if you don't do it, forget it. Okay? If you read that once a week when you come on Sunday at church and expect that to work, you're fooling yourself. Okay? It's not going to work. Then you say, why did it happen? Well, what does the word say? Were you doing the word? So for life to do, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of this come the issues of life. Really, you know, all the results that you get in your life come out of your heart. So if you don't keep it with all diligence from the influences of looking at the wrong thing, thinking the wrong way, you know, you are going to not be able to make it. And then goes on, and generally, you know, people are preaching about this stuff, stop right there. But there are the following verses are just as important. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. What is a deceitful mouth? You know, say lies. No. A deceitful mouth is a mouth that speaks things that are contrary to the word of God. You see, those are the deceit. That's the lie that the devil put in your mind for you to speak out so that you are bound by it. And put preserved lips far from you, which is the same thing. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your lips look right before you. That means don't look to the right or to the left. You know God's direction. God's words give you the direction, just keep straight there. Don't waste your time looking around. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyes look before it. Ponder the path of your feet. Now he's starting to talk about something else. You know, it's not anymore the path of your feet are what you do. What are you doing? You had to ponder. You have to think about what you are doing. Is what you are doing in agreement with the word? Are you lined up with what the word of God says that you should be doing? See, it's not just a mental and spiritual exercise. How do you work out the things you have learned, the things that you are studying, the things that you are meditating on, the things that the word God says? Are you following me? So you see, that part there is just as important. You have to ponder out to see, am I really moving in the right direction? Yeah, am I really doing what the word says I should do? Are you, in other words, am I walking by faith or by sight? You see, that's the difference. You walk by faith. That means you walk about the direction that's the direction of the word. You walk by sight is, well, you know, this is convenient to go there. This is a shortcut. Oh, this is a way that I can do it. That's my solution. You see, that's not the way that's going to, you see, that's what it's saying here. And let all your way be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. You see, what they're saying here, don't get distracted. Distraction is what messes you up. You look at the wind. You better got distracted by looking at the wind. Remove your foot from doing evil. We already know anything that has to do with the word. You know, here, you can see there are the two components that I'm talking about are already reflected here. Number one, you think, look, focus, choose the right thing. Number two, do, walk, take the steps according to what the word says, so you actually implement in the word in your life. You see, you have been coming a doer, a walker, not just a hearer. Now, you know, the reason why I'm standing this is because we need to look at the walking more so that we understand how to do the walking, how to walk on water. How to walk out of the storm to the place where there is peace and victory. You see, it's not just meditating. It's not just doing Bible study. It's not just confessing the word. It's more than that. It's step number two. It's doing the word. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 6, you know, talks about in 7, you know, when it says, you know, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The wind comes up again, eh? The distracting element. For they let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, and unstable in all his way. You see, God wants to produce stability inside us, not instability. Christianity, and also Christian, you know, they become Christian, they're all over the place and they don't know anymore what they're doing because they have wrong theology. Christians should be stabilized, standing on the rock. They're not going to be moved anymore. But that often doesn't happen because they have learned the wrong theology. They think, you know, they had to go by the wind because, you know, but going by the wind is the wrong interpretation of going by the Holy Spirit. All right. Are you following me? We cannot waver. If we start wavering, it's because we are looking at different things. Don't look at different things. The more things you look, the more confused you're going to be. There is only one thing you have to look at, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It means looking at Jesus means looking at the Word. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. You see, Jesus is the implementation of the Word in the life of a person. So when we are going to be looking at Jesus, we see what to do with the Word in our life. And so we can do the same thing because we are a person like He was. He was our example. If we couldn't do what he would do, he did, then it isn't fair for God to expect that we become like him. It isn't fair what he said, that the greater things that this, the work that I do, I should do also greater work than this, you know. Because on what basis we can do that? Well, if he said it, that means it's true. So one of the things in looking at him that we should do is, he said that, I believe it, and I'll do it. Instead of questioning it, instead of making it a theological impossible situation that we try to figure out what it means. No, just believe it and start living it. Praise the Lord. So, to start with, as a conclusion of this first part, this is the first part. How do you feel inside yourself? You feel like a conqueror? Can you do all things? I mean, don't quote just scriptures. See, I'm not asking you to quote me the scripture because I know the scripture too. I don't need you to quote me the scripture. I'm asking you, how do you feel about those words? Maybe a moment, yeah, ooh, hallelujah, I just finished coming out of the service. I'm ready to take down the world. I don't care at that moment. 6 hours after, once you got a flat tire, when you go other things that happen around you the way you want it, when you, you know, burn the chicken and you put in the oven. I mean, any of the things that happen, or when you start getting a sore throat and say, oh my goodness, you know, something is happening here. Are you overcome by your circumstances? You feel overcome by your circumstances, or are you on top of them? See, you know why the eagles die? We just, and on Eagle's Wing, we sang today. I mean, there is a reason why we sang that song. You know, the wind comes and doesn't make us sink. The eagle flies up when the wind comes. It's the opposite. It doesn't put us down. It just helps us to go on top of the clouds so that we can look at the storm from the top and say, oh, sometime it's going to stop. For now, I'm flying fine. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? But you know, it doesn't happen if we look at the wind. You have to stretch your wings on the word and let it lift you up. Praise the Lord. You know, when you find yourself in the place in which you feel the faith is weak, when you feel yourself that the circumstances are overcoming you, when you feel, you know, agitated inside because there is no peace. Jesus came to give us peace. Peace that passes all understanding, even when the world collapses around us. Okay, when we feel that way, that's an indication that we have to do something. That's an indication that you say, stop. We have to stop everything. We have to stop ourselves from trying to do things. We have to stop trying to do things. And we start to go to Him. We have to start looking at Him. We have to go to the Word. How much you have to do that? I don't know. As much as you need it. Until you are, you know, you're going to see that you, when you do that, you get into it and you just start reading the word, meditating on the word, confessing the word. You know, the level of your faith that starts coming up. And then you stop. Down again. When you go down again, you just pick it up. At that moment, you are just wavering like the wave of the sea. That's not very good. You see, that is because there is no retention in you of the word, because it's not established inside. There has to be establishment there of the word so that you can keep flying, even if at the moment you had to cook the chicken or whatever. Okay? Are you following me? Hallelujah. You see, Wigglesworth said something. You know, he said that I am much bigger inside than outside. See, we have to become bigger inside than outside. We have to feel the bigness inside ruling our life and developing and establishing the strength that is there in our spirit that rips on, that just follow out down to our body and our mind. And when we are there, when we are feeling strong, let the weak say, I am strong. Well, we had to get to the place when we can say I'm strong, even if it appears to others that we may be weak. You know, you say these things and people get mad at you. You say, oh, you don't know what I am going through. Well, sorry. You know, that's the way to get over the things you're going through. That's the only way to get over. And if things keep going that way, it's because you keep looking at the wrong thing. You keep spending too much time in the things that deplete you instead of the things that empower you. You know, the first things that I do when I prepare a message for Sunday, you know, is, you know, my goal is not to deplete you, is to empower you. If I don't do that, I failed. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to be empowered. Because Jesus went around empowering people and the Pharisees got mad at him. You see, that's what happened when you say the truth. See, the truth produces two reactions. Either people take it or they hate you. They get offended by what you say. Are you following? Because it touches on the sore. Okay? But that's the victory. Jesus is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How does a faith come? By looking at Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we done that with the part one. Better than nothing. But you see, this is the way the Holy Spirit, you see, that's how we activate the Holy Spirit in coming to us, in staying within us. See, it's not just a question of trying to put a song and get you excited and jump up and down. And then after you finished, you're sweating and that's the only thing that happened. Praise the Lord. Jesus wants us to experience victory and nothing else. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You see, we are starting to get our soul prosper so that we may be in health and in victory and prosperity and victory in our life because our soul prospers. This part one, allow our soul to prosper because it's modified and is filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Did you get anything today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we should make a confession here. I mean, we had to establish these things in our hearts. Okay? They had to be rooted there so that we can stand on them and no matter what the wind blows, we can spread our wings and fly higher. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we have victory because Jesus had victory. And I believe in Jesus, in what he has done. He won for me so that I can experience the resurrection power that he has. And I can learn to look at him when the wind blows, to look at him when our circumstances try to put us down, so that when that happens, we fly higher, not down. We don't sink. We float on the water because we walk with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith is in you, the conqueror, the one that conquered death, and the sitting now at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I receive it, I appropriate it, and I walk by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you too.